Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 5th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is our one of two. And our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And yes, we believe in the checks and balances absolutely brilliantly put in place by the founders. We've got to work towards making America great again, restoring the republic, whatever term you choose to use. We don't support revolution. We reject it, but we do stand for peaceful restoration of one of the greatest societies ever in the history of the world. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Pray you had a delightful weekend. And a quick recap of Friday's broadcast, available still now at libertyroundtable.com for your listening pleasure, free. We talked about the first prison sentence given to Jerry DeLimas in the Bundy case in Nevada. He got 7 years. The problem is he wasn't even at the Bundy Ranch. Folks, this is serious business, man. We got due process violations everywhere. We're doing everything we can about it. I know we have a difference of opinion with some patriots on some elements of this, but let's not let Satan divide us. Let's work together. TheFreedomCoalition.com if you want to learn more and participate in the solutions today. TheFreedomCoalition.com, please. The sad part is this Belemus gentleman has been in jail for 16 months. So the sentence means that the 62-year-old former U.S. Marine will spend 6 more years behind bars. It's a tragedy, folks. 16 months without even a trial. Ammon, Ryan, many others still sitting there rotting. They're innocent until proven guilty. The sad part is there are prison violations. There are violations of due process. But we need to be very careful not just to attack. When is your criticism constructive? And when does it cross the line and not be helpful? When do we truly help Ammon and others with their cases? When do we not? How do we best free them? How do we best have due process of law? How do we best get folks on our side to help make a difference? It's all in the mix, folks, and we all have different opinions, but we must not divide. We need to work together. TheFreedomCoalition.com. We talked about this Chief U.S. District Judge Gloria Navarro. She added time to his sentence after faulting Belemus for trying to withdraw his pleas. She said that she didn't think he accepted responsibility for his actions. Now, here's what's interesting about this, folks. Listen carefully. A lot of folks compromised and caved in the situation after they felt like they had no chance. But then Ammon and those guys had a jury say not guilty, innocent, in Oregon. The government was stunned. The facts came out about agent provocateurs hired by government to infiltrate and escalate what happened in Bundy Ranch and in the Malheur Wildlife Refuge. Well, then a couple of these guys said, well, wait a minute, now I want to change my plea then. Oh, no, not so fast, in my opinion, says the judge. See, that's a problem on all sides. Quote, I have to say, Mr. Belemus, this is the judge, that you unfortunately are blinded by the information you choose to believe, she said. Well, it's no crime to believe whatever you want in America, folks, like it or dislike it. It's no crime. His attorney, Dustin Marcello, said that he's going to appeal, and I hope he does. By the way, Bundy, that's Clive and Bundy, two of his sons, that's Ryan and Ammon, and two other defendants are due for later trial this year. Six others, including two other Bundy sons, won't even have their trials till next year. You're talking about a failure to have due process of law, a failure to a speedy trial, folks. This is the most tragic part of it all, not to mention the treatment they're receiving. But let's face it, are there honest people along the way? Yes, there are. Do we got a big problem with our system? Yes, we do. In fact, that's a separate discussion. And a lot of patriots want to mix those two together and just attack. That'll divide, not unify. We got to work on pieces at a time. President Donald Trump playing the hokey pokey with the climate accord. Freedom Works applauds withdrawal from the Paris Agreement. Yeah, Donald Trump says, hey, we can't stand this thing. It'll cost us $2 trillion and over 400,000 jobs if we do. Several environmental groups are melting down, claiming that Donald Trump's withdrawal from the accord is racist. Donald Trump says, quote, my job is to do everything within my power to give America a level playing field, to put America first. Boy, is he spot on that. The question is, can we withdraw from the accord and have it not be racist? Have it not be because we don't care about the environment, but have it be because we didn't get a fair shake, a good deal? Because Congress never got the chance? In other words, hey, Barack Hussein manipulated this thing, backed into it without congressional approval. Can we step back for a second and say, no, we're not going down that road. The president agrees with Congress. If we put together a new agreement of some kind, it must be supported by the separate branches of government in America, respecting our separation of powers. If Donald's saying that, boy, is he spot on for a change. Hour two, we talked about there's 248 new reasons that doctors are on the verge of curing cancer. Robert Donucci writes the piece. Biopharmaceutical companies are developing 248 new cancer drugs and vaccines aimed at treating the most recognized classes of cancer, according to the study. Now, the reason I have a problem with all that is because that's the 248 reasons they'll never cure cancer. Big pharma's involved. It's big, big money. And if they put together a cancer patented drug or a cancer patented vaccine, that's another big reason that they'll just hang on to that cash cow and never solve the cancer crisis. All right, Google, I guess, is putting together the new HQ. It's a £1 billion London HQ. And they say they have interesting things here. Tree line running tracks. They got pause areas and a rooftop meadow. Big old fancy thing going on by Google. All backed and funded and created by your taxpayer generated CIA, huh? Thousands of non-citizens, believe it or not, registered to vote in Virginia. Thousands of non-citizens registered to vote in Virginia. Donald says there's vote fraud. Clinton's and others say, oh, no, no vote fraud at all. Well, they're getting to the bottom of it. They find out that thousands of non-citizens are registered to vote in Virginia alone. The report also indicates that this fact has been hidden by state government officials, including Democrat Governor Terry McAuliffe, who is best known for illegally pardoning 60,000 felons, convicted felons, I might add, so they can vote in the 2016 elections. See, fraud everywhere. And we ought to start creating accountability and prosecuting these folks that have covered this up. Many other states are also being investigated, including North Carolina, where numerous voters were found who were registered in multiple states. All right, we also had our buddy Scoop Stanton from Washington, D.C. dial in. He gave us a quick update on the Bilderberg meetings to begin in Virginia. I guess they might cause problems for the Donald Trump. Time will tell on that. I guess folks are trying to replace Jason Chapin in the House, and one gentleman was barred from filing his candidacy from China. Yeah, I guess so. They're suing Utah over it. That's an interesting twist. Star epic fail. Every student flunks state exams, writes Art Moore of WND.com. Government schools failing everywhere. I guess the feds are asked to probe Planned Parenthood for criminal conspiracy. Bob Unruh writes the piece. Criminal conspiracy. See, we've got to create accountability. Too many good, honest, innocent patriots are in prison, but yet we can't get accountability for government bureaucrats and Planned Parenthood and other criminal organizations. Black Lives Matter, Planned Parenthood, they rage everywhere. Burglar stole guns off FBI vehicle hours before the Seth Rich shooting. Alicia Poe writes that piece. There's more information that there's a scandal behind the Seth Rich murder. By the way, there's a GoFundMe. Go check it out to support finding out more about Seth Rich. People want to get to the bottom of it and need investigative cash. Will you help? Advertiser boycotts are prompting news agencies to shy away from reporting on the Seth Rich story. So now advertisers are in the mix. I guess that Twitter suspended the account of WorldNet Daily because they're willing to look into the Seth Rich murders. WorldNet Daily is one news agency that will not be deterred. They are determined to get to the truth on the Seth Rich murders. Good for them. We support them. The major news media characterized independent investigative reports as promoting left-wing conspiracy theories. Good luck with that lie. I guess two D.C. hospitals were basically shut down questions about the Seth Rich murder, too. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Back in seconds.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Okay, let's try this. Honey, I've got some surprising news. No. Okay, this'll work. Guess who's gonna have a baby? No.
Hi, honey. Are you okay?
Jill's pregnant.
Our Jill? She's just a kid.
I know. But, you know, nothing really has to change when the baby comes. I'll help her. We'll just help her, right? We never thought it would happen to our Jill or to us. We didn't know how to best help her through the tough decisions she'd have to make. Thankfully, we found that help. And not just for her, but for us too.
We're here to listen. We're here to help. LDS Family Services. Where there's help, there's hope.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, that was a recap of Friday's broadcast. It's amazing how much news we cover, ladies and gentlemen. Well, we better get cracking because we got a lot of news today as well. News the networks refuse to use starts now. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, back on the radio. Welcome, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good to be with you.
Isn't it surprising how much news we actually cover?
It's awesome, guys. It really is terrific.
And we're going to keep it up. That's why we have on incredible folks like Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. You know, part of the idea of Liberty Roundtable is not just to get updates from Sam and Kurt. We're pretty good news researchers ourselves. But there's so much news. And you know what? No matter how hard we work, we can't get to the bottom of it all. But if we bring on folks like Campaign for Liberty and many other guests that we have on a rotating basis, you know what? You get an update from all kinds of places. Campaign for Liberty, Gun Owners of America, a Richard Max Organization, the Constitutional Sheriffs, the Peace Officers Association. You get updates from Pete Sepp, National Taxpayers Union. I mean, it just is amazing how much we can cover with the team that we put together. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, is involved on that team. Thank heavens, because he just brings spot-on information. Lowell Nelson, Dateline, Arizona, my friend.
Hey, good news from there, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes, you know, we're always talking about bad news, but occasionally there's some good news. And I just wanted to bring to light the fact that Arizona legislature this year passed HB 2014-2014. It was a bill that does what Utah did several years ago, which was to define gold and silver coin and other precious metals as legal tender and thereby exempt them from the state capital gains taxes, which means now that Arizona residents, just like Utah citizens, can use these precious payment for services and so forth. This was a big deal in Arizona because it marks the passage of this legislation, the first since Utah did it back in 2010 or 2011. And so it's been 5 or 6 years. So we want people to know about this. We cheer Arizona's passage, absolutely. Applaud their work. And the governor signed this, by the way. The governor down there, there was some question about whether Governor Doug Ducey would actually sign the bill. But thanks to a lot of friendly pressure from activists and allied organizations, he did sign the bill. And so this is really, really good news. Dr. Ron Paul said this about the event, quote, by allowing the people of Arizona to use an alternative to Federal Reserve-created fiat currency, HB 2014 will help the people of Arizona survive the next Federal Reserve-created recession. Passage of this bill will also help to make Arizona more attractive to the growing number of people seeking alternatives to fiat money in order to protect themselves, their families, and their business from the effects of Federal Reserve policy. Thus, this bill will help attract new investments and jobs to Arizona. He continues to say, I hope other states will follow Arizona's lead and so forth. I'm just delighted to announce this to the world, make sure everybody knows about it. I can tell you this, Sam, that there are a lot more people investing. Well, I don't know if investing is quite the right word, but putting their money into the United Precious Metals Association here in Utah, since its passage here in Utah several years ago. I attend the annual meeting of the UPMA, and they're talking. They have reserves in the millions of dollars now, because it becomes really a safe place to store wealth or to store value, so that value is not eroded. I mean, if you have a dollar bill in your hand, a Federal Reserve note, the value of that note decreases as the Fed prints more money. But if you have a gold or silver coin in your hand, or some other commodity, a grain or wheat or whatever, that the value of that commodity does not decrease just simply because the Federal Reserve prints more money. The value of a commodity like that maintains its value over time. And so that's the great blessing, the great benefit of the UPMA here in Utah, sponsored by our good friend Larry Hilton, and this new bill that passed and was signed by the governor in Arizona.
HB 2014?
That's the one.
All right, and every supporter, ladies and gentlemen, of free markets should be cheering Arizona's passage of HB 2014. There's no more justification for forcing individuals to use government-created money. In fact, as the 100-plus years of the Federal Reserve failure shows, that, hey, giving monopoly control over our money just doesn't work. There are better answers, and we're embracing them now. Now, Utah and Arizona are the two leading states on this, right?
That's right, Sam.
Now, what we need to do is see if we can't get an Idaho, a Nevada, a Wyoming, a Colorado. What we need is the Last American readout group of states on board for this idea, because then you create a cross-state trade in gold and silver too, right?
Well, that's exactly right. In fact, even the UPMA has what they call liquid gold accounts, and you can pay for your services, products and services using a card, basically. The card is attached to your gold account, and participating vendors, merchants, any business that accepts this liquid gold, basically you can, go to the restaurant and you might pay, 95 cents in gold for a really nice meal with your wife or your family or whatever. And if that particular restaurant accepts the liquid gold account, then you basically just pay with your, it looks like a credit card, but it's just a liquid gold account, and boom, you pay with that. You pay in gold.
But let's make this clear. They don't really even have to accept the gold because it's tied to like a debit card, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they've
so they don't have to understand it or know, really. You could still use your account. It's a tie to the world, if you will. Now, it's better if they have their own account, too, because there's going to be ways that you can trade liquid gold to liquid gold account and skip the mainstream merchants, etc. But there still is a way to deal with it in day-to-day life. And those are the things that it's one thing to pass that gold and silver is legal tender. That's phenomenal. But it's another thing, then, to take the next step and make it practical in the day-to-day reality of living to where, you know what, whether you know about it or not, it can be done, whether you're cognizant or involved or not, and then, most importantly, to get more and more people knowledgeable and involved. But there's got to be, a law passed, which has been done in Utah and Arizona, legal tender, folks. But then, secondly, to make it practical, Lowell.
You're exactly right, Sam. And we hope that this is the beginning of many, many other states doing the very same thing. This is very attractive to people who have money, who want to protect their wealth. It serves as a hedge against inflation by putting your money into an account, a depository like this. And it should the unthinkable happen, which, you know, the unthinkable in this case meaning the value of the dollar plummeting to zero. For instance, if other countries around the world won't accept euro dollars or petrodollars or fiat dollars anymore, and the value of those paper dollars plummets downward towards zero, then those people who have gold and silver coin will be able to carry on, economically speaking, without any decrease in the value of the coinage they use back and forth in their economic transactions. So it really serves as an important hedge against the dangers of inflation, price inflation instituted by the Fed.
The slogan UPMA needs to start using, and I'm going to talk to Larry about this too, Lowell, but you might spread the word. We need to basically use the phrase, better than Bitcoin.
Yeah, I like
because
that.
Because Bitcoin is still a fiat currency, folks. Let me say that again, because I don't think people understand me. Bitcoin is still a fiat currency. It's just a digital fiat currency as opposed to printing out the paper. That's all. But the reality is UPMA doesn't focus on fiat currencies. It's real gold and silver literally stored in a vault somewhere. You could take hand delivery of it whenever you choose. That's an important thing to understand, right, Lowell?
That's right, Sam. In fact, it's a true depository, meaning they don't lend that out like other banks. You know, typical banks, They get deposits from creditors, and they lend those out to debtors who want to build a home or something. This is a true depository where you store your gold and silver coin in the depository for a small fee, and then you pay this nominal fee month after month, and that's how the depository maintains its business. Is you're simply paying them for the privilege of keeping your gold and silver safe, protected. And it's not loaned out, so it's always there. You can always go get your gold and your silver if and when you want.
It's a critical point, ladies and gentlemen, to understand. I'm telling you, better than Bitcoin is the slogan we ought to use, because it is. It is the solution, and you got two states on board. The question for Lowell quickly is, what state's going to be next? Is there another state close to getting this done? We got to find that out. We'll do that. In the meantime, we're going to talk about Utah municipal elections in seconds. Sam Bushman, Lowell Nelson, Kirk Crosby's in the mix too, but he's on the road also on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. Bond rating companies downgraded the bond rating of Illinois in recent days. The new rating is one level above junk bond. Illinois is mired in pension debt obligations and unable to pay its bills. The overdue bills amount to 40% of the state's budget. The state has not passed a full year budget for 2 years. By the end of this month, the state's interest obligations will climb to $800 million. Complicating the mess is the governor and the legislature, different parties, not being able to agree on how to fix finances in Illinois. Walmart says it's not going to try to compete with Amazon's drone delivery plans. Instead, Walmart will focus on using real people to deliver online orders. Walmart's experimenting with using its store employees to deliver packages while driving home from work at the end of the shift. The test stores so far are in New Jersey and Arkansas. Walmart has 1.2 million employees in nearly 5,000 stores. The company believes its employees would make a very dense web of deliveries possible. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
For commentary and insights on a troubled world delivered to your inbox weekly, think Joel Skousen's weekly Internet News Analysis Service. Subscribe today to this one-of-a-kind news source, WorldAffairsBrief.com. We the people do hereby request the immediate assistance of President Trump, Congress, media outlets, and freedom organizations to defend all innocent Americans. There is no liberty with innocence in prison. Please sign our petition, thefreedomcoalition.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, I just got off the cell phone with Larry Hilton, the leader of this UPMA and the brilliant attorney that got legal tender happening in Utah. A quick update from him on this. He doesn't have time to jump on the radio with us, but he did have a quick second to brief me on a couple of details that are really worth drilling into. Number one, Utah is the lead state for sure. But the state behind Utah that's doing an incredible job is Oklahoma, even ahead of Arizona. And in Arizona, they certainly passed that it's not, you know, capital gains taxes for gold and silver, but they haven't literally called it legal tender yet. So there's a bunch of states in a various flux, if you will, or you know, they're not all the same. They're coming about it in different ways slightly, but they're gaining ground. So Utah and Oklahoma are the lead states for sure. Arizona close behind. Other states are working on it. Indiana's working on it. Idaho and others are working on it, but believe it or not, there's about 31 states that are in the middle of putting together saying gold and silver is not taxable. It's not a capital gains. It's money. And then the next step is to make it legal tender. The next step is to make it practical. We got a lot of work ahead of us, but there's 31 states, in some mix working on this in some way. So this movement's way bigger than most folks might even think. Go ahead, sir.
I'm glad you called, Larry, about that. I had an article here on the internet from marketslant.com, which listed Idaho's bill H.R. 206 as removing the sales tax on precious metals. They indicate here also that Alabama and Tennessee are in the process of removing sales tax on their precious metals. In total, almost 20 states have already taken that step. And so, you just like you said, I had forgotten about Oklahoma being another leader in this movement, but it is so encouraging.
You find the more Republican or conservative the states are, I don't know if you want to call it the blue states, but you find that the Rocky Mountains and the South really are the leaders when it comes to the Constitution, when it comes to conservatism. And I know some people say, well, Sam, they're still liberal as all get out. I agree. But again, it's a relative reality or discussion here. Yeah, they're liberal. They don't get it. Yeah, they don't follow the Constitution. Yeah, there's corruption. I get all those things. But the likelihood of restoration is greater in those conservative bastions, whether they be the Rocky Mountains or the South. There just seems to be some leadership there because they're primarily, and I hate to say this, I don't mean to be a racist, but they're primarily Christian, they're primarily white, they're primarily conservative, they're family oriented. It goes on and on. And I don't mean to throw a racial mix in there, but I am saying those are the people that understand our founding fathers and the Constitution. Now, could we train and teach others to understand the Constitution and take, you know, race out of it? Of course we could. It's not a racial discussion. It just so happens that those are the people gravitating toward it. And if I don't bring up the racial issue, somebody else will and say, well, you guys are just a bunch of white, old, founding father-esque, irrelevant people. That's what they'll do. And so you might as well just call it up first and bring it out and say, look, we invite everybody of every color, every race, every divide line that the destroyers of liberty want to use. And we bring it up and say, join us. We're just providing the leadership here. Isn't that about it, Lowell?
I think so, Sam. One last thing this article mentions is that any state with whose has a significant portion of their GDP based on the mining of precious metals, this article thinks that that's why they're so far in the lead, such as Arizona, Nevada, and Utah. We pointed out last time we talked about this on the show, Utah's biggest export, or the biggest moneymaker, Sam, is gold. Did you know that?
I do now. I didn't a second ago.
it's huge. And so I don't know exactly why that would tend to make it so Utah would be more likely to pass the, you know, gold and silver coin as legal tender, but the author of this article seems to think it does. I just throw this out there for what it's worth.
Fantastic. Kurt, any quick updates on this? You have a UPMA account, don't you, Kurt?
Yes, I do, Sam. I'm trying to understand more and more. You know, like I'm almost all good Americans. We've been bullied into this whole idea that says, hey, you shouldn't use that, you know, the coin of the realm, whatever you want to call it now, is what we call Federal Reserve notes. And so we all have to relearn the system. But it's very exciting to me to see after 100, I guess we got the Federal Reserve in 1913, after 104 years, I guess it is, we've finally started heading back in the
right direction.
We should have been. Yeah.
And no doubt we got a ways to go. We certainly got a lot of rowing ahead of us, but you know what? At least the boat's pointing in the right direction, for crying out loud. That's a huge start. Let's not misguide ourselves. We got a lot of rowing to do. There's no doubt about it. But you know what? Hey, man, the boat's pointed in the right direction. Now it's time for enough Americans to start rowing that we can actually get the job done. We at Liberty Roundtable Live are doing our very best to be involved in the mix and to bring people along and to really make a difference. And that's what Liberty Roundtable is all about, folks. Solutions, education, understanding, making America great again. If you want to use Donald's term, I don't care what you use. But the reality is we want to return our country to the traditions of our founding fathers, to use the checks and balances to make America great again. All right, speaking of making America great again, folks need to realize the Utah municipal elections are right now, huh, Lowell?
Well, the filing period for municipal offices is right now. And the way we make America great again, and we take it back one city at a time, and that's done by good folks like you and others who are willing to run for public office, to serve on city councils, on planning commissions, and mayoral seats, and so forth. In Utah, the filing period for the municipal offices is June 1st through June 7th. So that was from last Thursday through this Wednesday. So basically today, tomorrow, and Wednesday for the last 3 days of our filing period here in Utah. The primary election will be held August 15th, the general election November 7th. But if you want to make a real difference in your community, if you want to strike a blow for liberty, then you should run for city council or support somebody who, a like-minded, liberty-minded individual like yourself, who is willing to file and run for a seat on the city council or in the mayor's seat. And we have a number of people here in Utah who are doing just that. Then please visit with your neighbors, decide among yourselves who's willing to run. And you know, it might be your neighbor Joe Smith this year, and then in 2 or 4 years from now you'd be willing to do it. And if we take turns and we share the burden, the civic load, so to speak, of attending these meetings and taking care of our city councils, making sure that they're voting for liberty and they're not increasing our tax burden, they're not increasing our regulatory burden, then you can have liberty right in your own community. This is been the greatest success, I believe, that we've had in recent years is all of the good people here in Utah have run for seats on the city council. I like to brag a little bit about Highland. We took a majority of the seats on the city council in 2008, Sam, and have not had a tax increase since. And so, you know, I know all around the state of Utah, there are people who are serving on city councils in Cedar City, on the county commission there, on the city council there, here Taylorsville, Centerville. There's good people everywhere who are taking on their shoulders, and they're running for seats in the city council, and they're winning these races. Carlton Bowen in American Fork. Hans Anderson served a number of years in Orem. And so these are wonderful people, Tim Irwin in Highland, Thomas Butler in Highland, who have taken this upon themselves. And so I'm just here to encourage you, good ladies and gentlemen, that this is one of the most effective ways you can strike a blow for liberty in your community is file for a seat on the city council either today, tomorrow, or Wednesday. The June 7th is the deadline here in Utah, and you can really make a difference. I can guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not paying attention to what your city council is doing, then they will be taking more of your property. They will be taking more of your freedom every passing week. And so to stop that, you have to get involved, and you have to get elected, and then you have to say no. It does take time. It does take some treasure. But freedom is not free. You must pay a price for it. Remember that heaven puts a price on everything of value to you and me, ladies and gentlemen. So please get involved, file for a city council seat, and run and win that seat, and strike a blow for liberty. Sam?
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Interesting stuff going on. Believe it or not, Lowell takes his own medicine, or he puts his money where your mouth is, however you want to look at it. Lowell Nelson is a delegate in Utah, and he'll be one of the 1,000 or so delegates who will decide who's going to take Jason Chapin's seat, right?
That's right, Sam. And the special caucus or the special convention where that will occur is coming right up here. We can talk about this after the break, but it's June 17th, Saturday, June 17th. So what I want to do when we get back is talk about the process of vetting candidates. This is something that's important for every delegate to do and for every sincere voter to do, in my opinion.
Amen to that. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. We'll get it done in just seconds on your radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com, participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, Lowell Nelson's breaking down what it takes to figure out how to vet candidates, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell?
Thank you, Sam. The reason I'm taking time on this is that this has national attention. There are people all over the country who are keenly interested in what's happening with Jason Chaffetz' seat. And so we have national attention, national focus. We also have an opportunity because I want to share what I've been teaching delegates here to do in the state of Utah for a number of years. And that is how to vet candidates. Just to give people a little bit of the lay of the land on this seat, Jason Chaffetz announced that he would retire from the U.S. House on June 30. And so a number of people from all parties are trying to fill that seat. So according to the Lieutenant Governor's website here, 22 candidates filed for this seat and one has withdrawn. That's a huge number. So of the 21 candidates, 15 are seeking the nomination of the Republican Party, 3 Democrat Party, 2 Independent American Party, and 1 Libertarian. So you know there's going to be at least 4 people on the general election ballot, right? Because Republican, Dems, Independent American, and Libertarian. Now 6 of the 21 who have filed their intent, 6 of those 21 candidates have filed their intent to gather signatures to be on their party's primary ballot. 2 of the 3 Democrats have done that. 4 of the 15 Republicans have done that. What that means is that those 6 people are going to be on the primary ballot regardless of what the party in convention decides their nominee is, regardless of who they choose as their nominee. So basically, if you gather enough signatures, you don't have to go through the convention process, but you can show up on the party's primary ballot. Now, it's also interesting, I thought, that 4 of those 21 candidates filed for the office using an affidavit of impecuniosity, which means simply means that they don't have the financial means to pay the $285 filing fee. So by filing the affidavit, the fee is waived. Now, this doesn't make them any less of a candidate, obviously, in my opinion, but it does call into question their financial ability to mount a viable campaign for the office. And so I really don't consider those 4 as viable candidates for this, you know, as we walk through this process. But now, if we look at the vetting process, what I do, Sam, I decide what principles are most important to me, right? What principles, and I base that decision based on the party platform, the U.S. Constitution, and an understanding of the proper role of government. So before I ever go out to talk to these candidates, or before I ever read their literature, or ever read their emails, I sit down and I make a list of the things that are important. And so I put together my list. It's not necessarily the list or the best list, but I think we can just walk through this here, and you can chime in with how to improve the list. But number one on my list is the proper role of government. Does the candidate understand the proper role of government? That government lacks the moral authority to do what a person may not do. In other words, if my neighbor may not forbid my use of herbs in the treatment of illness, then government may not forbid it either. And so is this candidate going to defend my right to life, liberty, and property?
And the idea here is, where does authority come from, folks? And the answer is we the people. And government can't have authority we don't have to give. Because we created government. If we don't have the authority to give it, how can government get it if we created government? It's really simple and basic, but most folks get tripped up there big time. They don't think through it on a logical or critical basis. But you got to really understand, hey, where does authority come from, right?
Exactly, Sam. And number 2 on my list is a proper understanding of state sovereignty. Does he or she realize that he'll be taking a job in a role that is subservient to the state? I mean, everybody thinks that serving in Congress puts them above the state, right? Well, that is so not how the founders envisioned this. The states created the national authority, not the other way around. And also, does the candidate understand the foreign or the outward-facing role of the central government and the domestic or inward-facing role of the state government, right? Does the candidate really understand that the true check and balance on the national authority is the state. The states have responsibility to erect barriers against federal encroachment of state sovereignty, right? So number two in my list is state sovereignty. Number three on my list is the importance of free markets, right? So is this person going to reduce regulation and other barriers to entry and help create a level playing field for all businesses, showing no favoritism, no picking of winners and losers? This is so important. The free markets have to be allowed to work. And if government will quit intervening in the marketplace, we will have much more productivity, more peace, and more prosperity than you can possibly imagine. Number four on my list is the fiat monetary system. Does this candidate understand that that is the one of the greatest threats to our republic? It is our fiat monetary system. That is a sure recipe to destroy the republic, is to imbibe in the false notions of the fiat monetary system. So is this candidate going to move to vote to audit the Fed and then end the Fed? Well, I sure hope so, because a return to a sound and honest monetary system, Sam, is really the only hope we have of saving our republic. And number five, we got to talk about foreign policy, because our current foreign policy is systemically flawed. It's a military interventionist policy. And does this candidate understand that? Are they going to be a neocon and supporting presidential wars abroad? Or are they going to adopt and embrace the philosophy of George Washington and adopt a policy of friendship with all nations, alliances with none, and don't mess with the other sovereign nations? That to me is a very important aspect. So those are the five issues that I come up with on my list. Sam, what do you think?
Well, I think they're very important to understand. The only other thing that I might add to this is, does this person understand the honest money principle? Because no matter what we put in place, if you don't get honest money in the mix, you'll go nowhere.
Absolutely right, Sam.
And okay, your number four kind of talks about the fiat money system. But I guess the reason I say it a little different is because I want to point out the honest money issue. It's not a matter of what, economic theory you believe in or any of those things, although that's important. What matters is, do we have honest money or not? It's either honest or dishonest. There's no middle ground here, is the point.
Exactly right. So once I have my list of important principles on which I'm going to measure the candidate, I then go and I read everything I can from the candidate, and I also look at their voting record. Now, in several of these cases, Tanner Ainge and Damian Kidd and others, they do not, to my knowledge, have a voting record. And so, to me, that's a strike against them in my book. Sam, I like to send battle-tested warriors to Congress, statesmen who have proven their fidelity to the Constitution in state and local offices over and over again. That's the kind of person I want to send to Congress. And so if there's a candidate who has not served yet in public office, I do not know how they're going to act, how they're going to behave once they get in office. And so to me, that's kind of a strike against them. But I go and I ask these candidates questions, and I choose questions or a set of questions in a way that will not reveal my predisposition about the issue. So in other words, if I want to determine a candidate's position on the proper role of government, I might ask this question: how would you assess the healthcare situation today, and what would you change about it? Now, that's a pretty innocuous question. They don't know. A listener to that question does not know whether I support government intervention in healthcare or whether I oppose it. And by asking, how would you change it, I'm giving them an opportunity to tell me, well, I would throw it out, I would eliminate it, or I would bolster it, I would make it mandatory. I mean, that type of a question will elicit a sincere answer.
An example of an answer that makes sense is, I would stand for the free market principles and move towards you deciding what you want with your health care without government regulation or intervention. Well, that's what I would do.
Oh, fantastic answer, Sam. And if you answered that and you were a candidate, I would give you a positive 2 points on my spreadsheet. So I have all the issues listed down the left-hand side. I've got the candidates listed across the top. And then I give every candidate a score from -2 to +2 on that particular issue. right? So if they give me an answer like, well, I like health care, I like Obamacare, they would get a -2 for their score. But if they gave me the answer that you just gave, I would give you a +2 and on that answer for, you know, for the proper role of government for candidate Sam Bushman. And then I do that for all candidates. And at the end of the day, before I cast my vote, I have a very objective and a substantive spreadsheet here that tells me who the best candidate is and who the worst candidates are based on their fidelity to the Constitution. Very easy to go and vote, cast my vote in that way with a clear conscience, understanding fully the implications of doing so. And I encourage all voters, all delegates, to adopt this type of approach when they vet the candidates and before casting their vote. Now, that leaves us just a couple of minutes to talk about 3 or 4 or 5 of the candidates on the Republican, seeking the Republican nomination. There's 4 really contenders. 3 of them are serving in the state legislature right now. Margaret Dayton tops that list. She received the top score, 71%, from Utah Grassroots, which this year, which is a citizen-sponsored legislator scorecard based on their voting record on a basket of about 20 bills. She also has the number one lifetime ranking from Grassroots, which is 81%. She voted against the Internet Sales Tax Collection Bill. She voted against $20 million in funding for homeless shelters in Salt Lake, saying, rightly so, that, quote, there is no justification in the Constitution for providing such housing, end of quote. And so, yeah, she's the top of the list there. But, you know, I'd like to keep her in the state legislature. and so I'm leaning towards Chris Herod right now, who's not in the state legislature, but who served there from 2000. We're just about out of time. Served there from 2007 to 2012. But his Utah Grassroots rating lifetime score is 82%. And he scored a 91% the last year he served there.
In other words, he trends more towards liberty is the whole point.
Yeah, absolutely. The longer he served, the more liberty-minded he became.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is just an example that we use because it's perfect. Talking about a federal congressman representing the state of Utah, replacing that person, and how to do so. Lowell, save this for next time. We want to drill into these kind of details more because it really is important across the country using our examples. You can apply this anywhere in the country. If you're going to get a hold of us to get Lowell's spreadsheet or a way to learn how to make one like it, Lowell's always willing to help. Thanks, Lowell.
You're welcome, Sam. Thank you.
There he goes. Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby. This nation shall endure.